All right. Well, I forgot that we didn't read the verses together. But you can read them sitting down, can't you? Or do you want, let's all stand again. See, I get out of sorts and then I get all discombobulated. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and through 23. Let's read these verses together. All together. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, oh, we already did that. You may be seated. It needs double prayer this morning. Now, I want you to notice what it says in verse 21 that is written about Jesus. It says that he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Now, let me make it perfectly clear. One is not saved by following Christ's example. For each of us would stumble over what is stated in verse 22, which says this about Jesus, who did no sin. Sinners need a Savior. They don't need an example to follow. But after one is born again, they should have a desire to follow the Lord. Jesus told us this very thing in John chapter 10, verse 27, where he said, "My sheep, those who are saved, those who have placed their faith in the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, we as believers are to imitate the example of Jesus Christ. We are to be like him. Now, this was Paul's great desire for those believers in Rome. For he writes this in Romans 13, 14. "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh." Then he told the Galatians this in Galatians 4, 19. "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." God's ultimate design for each and every believer is to be like his son. Romans 8, 29 tells us this. It says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." But wait a minute. Hold the phone, Maynard. Is not Christ sinless? Is he not without spot or blemish? Are we nothing more than sinners saved by grace? So how can we in these bodies of flesh ever be like him who knows no sin? Is he not omnipotent? Is he not all-powerful, almighty? He spoke 10 times and all creation came into being. He flung the stars off his fingertips into the dark night, and they sparkle like diamonds. He raised the dead. He stilled the storms. Now, we may be stronger than our fellow man, but even the Hebrew Hercules, named Samson, was weak, and his strength was counted as nothing compared to our Lord's. So we can't be like him in power. Now, he's omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. He knows the past. He knows the present, and he knows what lies ahead in the future. He knows our names. He knows the very number of hairs on our head, our hearts, our thoughts that we have, where we have been, where we are going, and how we ought to live our lives. We are without so much knowledge concerning so many things. Yes, his thoughts are not our thoughts. And we with our finite minds are no match for the one who is omniscient. So we can't be like Jesus, who knows everything, And that may come as a shock to some of you know-it-alls. He is everlasting. There has never been, ever will be, a time when Jesus isn't. We all had a start date. So we can't be like Jesus in that either. Jesus is immutable. You say, what that mean? That means he doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never gets better, for he's absolutely perfect. And he never gets worse, for he's absolutely holy. He never grows old. His attributes and character will never waver. We believers are subject to change. We are to grow in grace. We are to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Folks, we are a work in progress. None of us have arrived. We are to be conforming to the image of God's dear Son. So we can't be like him in his immutability because we are subject to change. Now, there are so many ways that we can't be like Jesus. Not in these bodies of clay, but not all hope is gone. You see, we can be like Jesus in surrender. In Psalm 40, verse 7 and 8, we read of Jesus saying the following words. Then said I, this is Jesus speaking, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. You may be thinking, how do you know these are the words of Jesus Christ? Well, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 through 9, they are ascribed to our blessed Lord. And those verses tell us, wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. The body in which the Messiah served the Father on earth had an ear that was open and delighted in God's law. It had a heart that was quick to obey and a body that was totally surrendered to whatever the Father wanted him to do. When our Lord said, lo, I come to do thy will, it means, here I am, Father. I'm ready to obey. No one can doubt that the life of Christ was one of complete surrender to the will of the Father. When he came to the earth, he came in the will of the Father. Everything he did as he tabernacled amongst men, he did in accordance with the Father's will. He pleased his Father so much that there were times when a voice from heaven spoke to him and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Every Christian, when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ, will want to hear their Lord say unto them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now the only way to hear those words is to be like Jesus, fully surrendered. Now one is not surrendered when they live their life as they please, when they are large and in charge, when they are stiff-necked and rebellious, when they're hard-hearted and stubborn and going their way and not doing his will from the heart. Surrender is not an easy thing, for it requires that we surrender our will to God's perfect will, our ways to his ways, and our thoughts to his way of thinking. We can't imitate the Lord. We cannot imitate the Lord in many things, but we ought to be able to imitate him in this matter of surrender. We can and should be obedient to what is written in the Scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 tells us, I beseech you, this is Paul writing here, he's begging these people, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, on behalf of all that God has done for you, that ye present your bodies a living, what? Sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God. Now, he doesn't want an unholy, unclean sacrifice. It's got to be holy and it's got to be acceptable. Which is your what? So that means it's sane. It's a right decision to make, right? You know, we got a bunch of crazy believers out there who are not willing to lay their all on the altar. You're nuts! And be not conformed to what? This world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to get to the place where we can say, here are my hands, Lord. Use them in your service. Here are my eyes, Lord. May they be focused on you. Here are my feet, Lord. May they walk in your way. Here's my tongue, Lord. May it be used to comfort the grieving. Encourage the saints. Sing your praises and spread the good news. Oh, to be like Jesus in surrender. Oh, may we say, I am thine and all that I have. Number two, let's be like him in offering sinners forgiveness. Let's be like him in offering sinners forgiveness, especially those that have transgressed against us. We read in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Then we read this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and be ye kind. Do you see that? That's required of us, kindness. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, through belief in Christ's sacrifice, we were fully forgiven, and our sins are not held against us anymore. They were removed from us as far as the east is from the west. They were cast behind God's back. They are buried in the deepest sea, and they are blotted out. The debt we owe has been paid in full. We've been robed in the righteousness of Christ, and we are justified from all our iniquity. Since Jesus so freely forgave us, are we not to freely forgive others? Others who have wronged us either on purpose or didn't even do it intentionally. Let's not display the rotten attitude of, I can forgive, but I ain't gonna forget. For when it comes to the Savior dealing with our sins, he remembers them no more. When we do forgive an offender, it should forever settle the matter. Remembering wrongs benefits no one. I think there are far too many believers who are like the servant Jesus spoke of in Matthew 18, who was forgiven a debt so large there was no way he could repay it, but would not forgive another who owed him such a little amount. Forgiving sinners like Jesus is difficult. And everyone speaks that, man, this matter of forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. Jesus knew how to love. He knew how to forgive his enemies. May we do the same. Oh, may we be like Jesus in surrender. May we be like him in offering those who offended us forgiveness like he did. May we be like him, thirdly, in service. In service. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus said this, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Even as a child, he said to Mary his mother and Joseph his stepfather, I must be about my Father's business. Our Lord's life was one of service. He grew up working in a carpenter's shop, working for his stepfather Joseph. He preached to fishermen along the shores of Galilee. He met the needs of those at the wedding of Canaan. He fed the hungry by multiplying a few fish and loaves. And at the Last Supper, he was the one who girded himself with a towel and washed the dirty feet of men. Listen to what is written about our Lord in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 7. Let this mind be in you. Okay, this is good. Which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That means he is God. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a what? Servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus was always busy. He gave his life in service to others. Jesus always had the time for others, no matter who they were. Little children rushed into his arms, and he was never bothered by them. He even told his disciples, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." People clamored about him, trying to get his attention, have their various needs met. Yet did he not take time for the woman that was taken in adultery? Did he not take time to go over across the Sea of Galilee and meet the maniac of Gadara and bring him to Christ? Did he not take time for blind Bartimaeus while he was making his way to Jerusalem where he would die on the cross? Did he not take time for Jairus and his 12-year-old daughter? The lepers, the woman with an issue of blood, and a tax collector named Zacchaeus. Did he not go out of his way to a woman who was by Jacob's well, who was married 5 times and living with another? How about you? Do you have time for others? Are you willing to meet their needs and serve them as Jesus did? So many of us, I believe, are like the priest and the Levite that Jesus spoke of, and so much unlike the Good Samaritan. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we took to heart the words Jesus spoke to his disciples when he told them, "And whosoever you will be chiefest shall be servant of all"? Far too many want to be served, or they become like Martha, complaining as they serve. Folks, we need to rise up today and serve the Lord by serving others, for the day is coming when we will rise and go to our reward. We can't serve in the same capacity that Jesus did, but we can serve, and serve we must. We can be like Jesus and surrender, offering those who transgressed against us forgiveness. We can also be like him in service. And number 4, we can be like him in self-sacrifice. We can be like him in self-sacrifice. You realize Jesus gave up heaven for the filth of this world and a manger in a small town of Bethlehem? You realize he laid aside his royal robes for swaddling clothes? Yet he was rich. But he became poor for us. What a night that must have been. The night that Jesus was born. It was a night of miracles. As the angel appeared to the shepherds. As a Virgin Mary gave birth. As Emmanuel was born. Just as prophesied. He forsook all. He that he might sacrifice himself for us. Paul said, "For even Christ pleaseth not himself." No power on earth or in hell could have put Christ in the manger had he not chosen to be there. So why was he there? Well, he came for you and he came for me. He came to become sin for us. He came to bear our burdens. He came to give hope to the hopeless, love the unlovely, and lift up the fallen. Today, you don't have to go far to see brokenhearted people. You know what they need? They need believers to come to where they are and show them the love of Jesus Christ. They don't need us to say, it's not my problem. They made their bed. Now they can lie in it. Nor do they need us to discuss the reason why they're in that condition. They need us as God's people to show some compassion. Go to where they are. And do what we can to comfort the sorrowing. Lift the spirits of the downcast. And be a friend to those who are fallen. Yes, it's going to cost you some time. Sometimes it'll cost you a bit of cash. It's most likely going to inconvenience you. And oftentimes, it'll be a thankless endeavor. But this is the example that Jesus set. And so let's be like him in self-sacrifice. We need to be like Jesus in surrender, in offering those who trespassed against us forgiveness. We need to be like him in service and self-sacrifice. And then number five, how about be like him in soul winning? Be like him in soul winning. You know, whenever he met someone like the religious Nicodemus, he would tell them, ye must be born again. To those who were out of the way, he would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. To those who hungered for salvation, he would say, I am the bread of life. And those in darkness, he would say, I am the light of the world. Jesus won people when he was dining. When he was walking about, he won people in the temple. By a pool, near a well, in a graveyard, under a tree, up in a tree, and then one hanging on a tree. He won them in synagogues, in homes, on shorelines, in Judea, in Samaria, and at the foot of his cross. He came seeking and saving that which was lost. And he offered the gift of eternal life to all who would receive it. He went about Galilee teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. We could be like Jesus in soul winning, could we not? What's it like for you? Is it non-existent? Is it only done on Saturday mornings? Or are we ready and willing and able to share the gospel with others anytime, anywhere? Soul winning is something we should do some of the time, all the time, and all the time, some of the time. I've been told by some preachers, you just can't win someone to Christ who is a stranger that you just met. You need to establish a relationship with them first. And it takes time to do that. Well, it didn't take time to win Ryan to the Lord yesterday. Right, took about 10, 15 minutes. He bowed his head and accepted Christ as his Savior. Amen. So let me ask you. Did the maniac of Gadara have established relationship with Christ before getting saved? Did the thief on the cross get to know Jesus for quite some time before calling upon the name of the Lord? Were Saul and Christ close before he came to know the Lord on the Damascus Road? Were Paul and Silas friends with the Philippian jailer before he put his faith in Christ? Were Cornelius and Peter having numerous get-togethers over coffee before Peter shared the gospel with him and his family? Yet they were saved, were they not? If we are to be like Jesus in soul winning, we are to be witnesses of the saving gospel. We are to warn sinners of the wrath of God to come, whether we have known them for some time or we have just met them. We don't need to win them to ourselves first before winning them to Jesus. Matter of fact, if they get to know us too well, they might not want Jesus. We need to be like Jesus in surrender, in offering those who trespass against us forgiveness, in service and self-sacrifice and soul winning. And then how about number six, be like him in supplication. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, we read, who in the days of his flesh, speaking about Christ, when he offered up prayers and supplication. Now the word supplication means to entreat, to pray, to make request. The Bible portrays that Jesus spent much time in prayer while he lived amongst men. He had a solitary place to pray where he could get all alone with the Father. He would rise early before the start of the day, and he would pray. He had a steady habit of prayer. He spent all night in prayer. He had confidence that his prayers would be heard and answered. He prayed fervently. He prayed earnestly. Now listen, if the Son of God needed to pray as he did, why is it we don't give it the importance that we should? You know, prayer is to be a priority for the believer. Paul writes this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, I encourage, therefore, that first of all, first, right? Isn't that important? That first of all, supplications, oh, there it is. Prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for Jimmy. As he goes, gimme, gimme, gimme. Yet that's how some of us pray. It's all about us. But here it says, made for what? All men. Now I think all men means what? All men. Now I think that would mean that you're spending a lot of time in prayer. Now I suppose I would stop praying too if I didn't have any needs. No longer desired a miracle from God that he would perform on my behalf. Had no more use for wisdom. I had no prodigals I need to pray for. I have no sin of my own to confess. That our government has no problems. And I have perfect understanding of all the scriptures. You say, preacher, those things won't happen till we are in heaven. I say, you're right. So in the meantime, shouldn't we be supplicating like Jesus? Let's be a people of prayer. We need to be like Jesus in surrender, in offering sinners forgiveness, in service, in self-sacrifice, in soul winning, in supplication. And then lastly, in suffering. That's what specifically is mentioned in our text verse. Notice what it says. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. For who? For us. Leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. Now it's talking about what? Suffering here. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You know, while I am capable and rather willing to suffer for the wrongs that I have done, it really chaps my hide to suffer for something I did not do. I never liked it as a boy. I didn't like it as a teenager, and you know what? I still don't care for it. But I need to be more like Jesus when it comes to suffering. He was sinless in word and deed, yet he suffered greatly. And when he did not complain. He didn't threaten those who unjustly treated him. He simply suffered in silence. And like a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth, but committed his situation to the Father. Jesus proved that a person could be in the will of God, be greatly loved of God, and still suffer unjustly. He handled it properly. He is to be our example. When such things come our way, we need to be like Jesus. When you suffer unjustly, what do? Do you whine? Do you cry? Do you complain? Do you murmur? Do you get bitter? Well, preacher, you don't understand. I broke my nail this morning. I understand that you suffered terribly this morning. And my heart bleeds for you. But we ought to be like Jesus in surrender, don't you think? How about in offering those sinners who trespass against us forgiveness? How about being like him in service? Self-sacrifice, perhaps in soul winning and supplication. And what about suffering? He's the example. He's the pattern. He's the copy. We are to be conformed to him. So what do you say? We keep our eyes on him and just follow in his steps. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.